Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Good morning. Today is the Sunday following the Feast of Pentecost and is named Trinity Sunday. And we are reminded today that the God that we seek and serve is three in one. Three in one. This feast is actually our last celebration before we enter into the long season of ordinary time that finishes out the church year. And our lessons this morning from Proverbs, Romans, and the Gospel of John seem to focus mostly on the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And each one of these lessons gives a unique glimpse into how God the Holy Spirit comes to us, is manifest with us, enables us, and guides us. It seems clear to me, in fact, that the Holy Spirit has particular roles or tasks in our lives. I might even go so far as to say a job description. First, in the lesson from Proverbs, we are introduced to the notion that wisdom could be one of the gifts of the Spirit. The wisdom of God comes to us and speaks to us and assists us as we co-create with God in joyfulness this garden of creation that we inhabit. The Holy Spirit is manifest in our lives as wisdom and as co-creator. Of course, I know that all of us are not gardeners out there planting and reaping, but surely all of us are people who have vision and who have desire. And we are all people who want to contribute to the order and to the beauty of our world. Just as the group of parishioners work to beautify our circle garden at the front door, just as volunteers cut the grass and trim the bushes, just as the playground is maintained for our children's delight, just as music is made and prayers are prayed, and we work together to plan and prepare for programs, we are all co-creating with God and delighting in our inhabited world and delighting in the human race, these as God's gifts to us. The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom and creativity for each day, for each task, for all that we do and all that we wish to do. And not just here at St. Paul's, as my examples have suggested, but in every place that we dwell, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, with our families and with our friends. The urgings and the longings and the creativity that emerges as we live our lives are intricately connected to the life of God within us. The Holy Spirit is manifest in our lives as wisdom and as co-creator with God. In the Romans passage, we hear first the promise that it is our faith that justifies us before God. In other words, the fact that you are here, sitting in the pew, sitting in this service, and seeking God, is a part of that nearly indiscernible tug of the Holy Spirit helping us to have faith, even when we do not know or understand. In fact, especially when we do not know or understand. Simply choosing to be here, the tiny seed of longing for God, is enough faith to be justified, to be seen by God as worthy, and thus to lead us to that peace which is beyond understanding. The opening verse of this passage reads, "Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, let me say, I am not talking about our feeling at peace. Feeling at peace each and every day. How can any one of us maintain any sense of peace in a tumultuous world like the one in which we inhabit? Rather, this passage is suggesting that God is at peace with us. God discerns our faith as a measure of peace between us and God. This is the meaning of being justified before God. God has received us into God's everlasting care. Why? Many reasons, but one is that we long for God. So the second way that the Holy Spirit is manifest in our lives is that the Holy Spirit helps us to have faith. The final phrase in this same Romans passage reads, "God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." And so another role of the Holy Spirit in our lives is the one of enabling us to love. This is such a wonderful gift because sometimes, as humans, we find it very hard to love. People offend us or scare us, or we are empty enough that we have little to give. And yet somehow we do continue to give, to speak kindly to our children and grandchildren and to strangers, to overlook the annoying habits of our siblings and our spouses, to listen to the same stories over and over again without complaint, to welcome newcomers into our midst, to bring one more meal, run one more errand, make one more phone call when we are weary, because the Holy Spirit enables us to love. A fourth role of the Holy Spirit in our lives is suggested in the Gospel of John in these words that Jesus speaks. "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth." He will guide you into all truth. Finding the truth in our lives can sometimes be seen as a fairly simple effort. But more often in the journey of faith, our decisions and our tasks are complicated with worry and stress, with judgment, with resistance, with confusion, with fatigue. All of these natural feeling responses that we carry as human beings sometimes get in the way of our making decisions. Decisions like receiving God's love, being guided by God's wisdom, choosing to love even when we don't feel like. Sometimes our feelings or our condition in life prevent us from being led into truth by the Holy Spirit. And so the four roles of the Holy Spirit that I've seen outlined in our lessons this morning are first of providing wisdom and co-creativity, of helping us to have faith, of enabling us to love, and of leading us into all truth. An all-time favorite movie of mine, I believe in its story and culmination, gives a great rendering of these roles of the Holy Spirit manifest in the life of a little boy named Charlie. The movie is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory from the year 1971 with Gene Wilder. And it is no coincidence that it is in the life of a child that we can clearly see the manifestation of God's Spirit. Don't the scriptures invite us to come as children to God? And didn't Jesus say when the children came to him, "The kingdom of heaven is theirs"? Charlie is one of five children in the film who find a golden ticket within a Wonka candy bar, which allows them entrance and a tour into the famous chocolate factory and the possibility of winning a lifetime of chocolate, free chocolate, for the rest of their lives. So as the children enter the factory and their tour begins to unfold, all sorts of things go wrong. And at the heart of these mishaps in the movie is the misbehavior of all the children. Even Charlie breaks a rule by trying out a fizzy drink, which he is told is still in its trial stages. But he and his grandfather hang back from the group and take a few sips, and they start floating high in the air. And they're going to go up through the ceiling, through a fan in the ceiling, if they can't figure out how to get down. And then in a moment, Grandpa burps, and he feels himself leveling out. So they figure out if they just keep burping, they'll go down, back down to the ground. So they rush out of that room and return to the tour group, thinking that Mr. Wonka does not know of their infraction. And by the end of the movie, Charlie's the only one of the five children left who could possibly win the prize. However, in his pocket, he has been able to sneak an everlasting gobstopper. This is a piece of candy yet to be released, but in full development, that when you put it in your mouth, it never ends. Sweet, it just stays there. And just before Charlie went into the factory, a spy from another candy factory told him to steal that everlasting gobstopper and bring it out, and I will make you rich for the rest of your life. So we are in the final scene at the factory. Charlie and his grandfather believe that they have won the prize, but all of a sudden, Mr. Wonka sits down at his desk, turns around on his chair, looking at them in disappointment, and tells them what a terrible thing it was that they did drinking that fizzy drink. They put their hands all over the walls, and they touched the ceiling, trying not to go up that hall. So the whole operation is going to have to be shut down and sterilized and restarted. Mr. Wonka unleashes his judgment of their behavior, and they turn and begin to walk out of the factory with no prize, feeling shocked. And Grandpa was really angry. But then a moment happens that turns everything around. Charlie stops, and he puts his hand into his pocket, and he pulls out the piece of candy, and he walks back to the desk, and he just lays it on the desk, right there, doesn't say a word, and he walks away. And Mr. Wonka, who has his back to Charlie, sees that piece of candy and he puts his hand on the candy and quietly he whispers, "So shines a good deed in a weary world. So shines a good deed in a weary world." The movie takes a definite turn then, and I can't tell you the ending. But I raise the question, what is it that inclined Charlie to be able to do that good deed, to give that moment of life in a weary world? What helps any of us experience moments and thoughts of creativity? To know the peace of connectedness, no matter what, to experience the love of God in such a way that we are able to offer kindness? What helps us live into the values of our faith and into the truth? What made Charlie do that? The Holy Spirit is with us, each and every one of us, in every single moment of our lives, the smallest moments and the greatest moments. The Holy Spirit provides wisdom and co-creativity in our lives. The Holy Spirit helps us to have faith. The Holy Spirit enables us to love and leads us into all truth. And thanks be to God, today you will hear the words 5 times repeated as we baptize these children. You are signed and sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. The Holy Spirit is yours. Let the Spirit within you bring light to our weary world. Amen.